This is Through the Years, a history of Cape Breton recordings. Join us on a musical journey through the decades featuring the vocals, songs, and stories of Cape Breton recording artists who have made an impact at home and abroad. On this edition, the songs and stories of Rita McNeil, with commentary from the people who knew her best, Joella Foles, Max McDonald, and Allie Bennett. This is Rita McNeil.
The joys we shared when we were young, the magic carpets that we rode, the friends we made, the hills we climbed, all this and more has shaped our lives. I know the sky tonight. Look and see how far we've come. Standing in our brightest light. This is what the dream has done. The peace that comes from knowing love. The certain way I see you smile. The happiness we've come to.
Through the Years, a history of Cape Breton recording music. On this episode, Rita McNeil. That was Rita's We'll Reach the Sky Tonight. Her biggest Canadian radio hit peaked at number 3 on the national charts. With us today is Joella Foles, recipient of the Nova Scotia Music Hall of Fame Award. She's been a leader in Celtic Colors, the founder, artistic director for over 20 years, former CBC radio host in Sydney, and most importantly, a musician. Take us back and give us a sense of what it was like meeting Rita McNeil for the first time.
Well, I found out that I was going to be moving to Cape Breton, which was kind of a wonderful dream for us when my husband finished his PhD and managed to land a position at Cape Breton University. So I had a job in Halifax too, so I said, okay, we got to figure out how to bring my job along. And I was talking to various people, and I don't know whether you remember Muriel Duckworth. She was a fairly well-spoken woman who did a lot of work in Halifax around causes for peace and women and stuff. And she said, you're going to Cape Breton? You need to learn this music. And she gave me the name of Rita McNeil's album. That album was Born a Woman. So I got the album. I couldn't stop playing it. I couldn't stop singing the songs. And then when we moved to Cape Breton and I was still working in the organization, which was Planned Parenthood, we as a women's group decided to bring Rita home to celebrate International Women's Day. Well, there was no one at home that knew her music, no one who could accompany her and play along with her except me. So by default, when I met her, it was, yeah, I'll play for you, sure. You know? And it just sort of, we never didn't after that for 6 years. Everywhere she went, I played with her and we developed a little small band and put out a couple of recordings. And the band grew and developed and eventually it was beyond my capabilities and we went our separate ways. But it was a wonderful opportunity for me. And so I was with her pretty much full time from 79 to 85.
So... in the beginning, Born a Woman, of course, her first album released in 75, which was her expression of fighting for women's rights in Canada.
Right.
So from that and your involvement, how did the other members of the band come together and how that developed to the first album, Part of the Mystery?
Well, the first album, the band that that first developed with myself and Dougie Johnson and Jerome O'Coin, really developed because she needed certain instrumentation and we all kind of met each other and tried it out and it worked, right? So then when we went into studio and we were in Halifax to record that first album, somewhere along the line, Ralph Dillon came along just to help produce it and tell it. But by the time that was finished, it was clear that Ralph was a really valuable member of the team. We, you know, the idea of having piano and somebody who had his musical experience and knowledge was wonderful. And he was so devoted to Rita. And so he joined the band at that point. And then I don't know whether he produced I'm Not What I Seem, that album. But anyway, he was very, very much involved in that album. So it went on from there. And various band members came and went over the years.
I don't know what I'm going to do when all of my traveling is finally through. And I'm home on the rocks with my thoughts. The medicine woman, she gave me the warning, wear only the colors, I heal the soul over. Stay out of the colors, where evil will penetrate through. Did you ever feel like a wick in a candle? Part of the question and part of the answer. Part of the mystery, far greater than me. Part of the mystery.
So all the recordings done in Halifax, no recording studios here.
There weren't any recording studios here at the time, which was, it was a challenge for all of us because some of us had day jobs, me especially. Yeah. And but you had to go up there and take the time, and it cost money. And so, you know, everybody, though, from the beginning, people really believed in what Rita was doing. All of us did. And I think everybody went the distance as opposed to just being hired as a studio musician. You know, everybody wanted to make it work for her.
Tell us about the writing process, how that worked with her, because she didn't play an instrument, she didn't write music.
The way that it worked was she, and from the very beginning, she would come to me and she'd say, I've got this new song, and she would sing it to me, and she would tap out the rhythm on her knee, right, and sing it in a key that was comfortable for her. So I would just take the guitar and I would try to find that key on the guitar and that rhythm and play along with her. And we would just work on it and work on it until it came to be what it was. And then I think later on, when Ralph got involved, that's the process that she would do with Ralph as well. So Ralph would work out the arrangements, which were much more piano based once he got involved. And then I would then add the guitar and the vocals and the harmonies, and that was all done kind of just by ear. And, you know, it just changed over the years. But she never did write the music down. She just wrote the lyrics. The melodies were beautiful, and the melodies were fairly simple to follow. So it wasn't as though I was having difficulty trying to find the right chords to fit that melody, because she sang melodies that were comfortable in the veins of music she'd listened to over the years. So they would be sort of folk, country, simple chord progressions.
Now, did she write all the music for the albums, or did others bring music in, or was it...
Oh, no, it was all her.
It was all her music.
I think there may be one or two cover pieces on I'm Not What I've Seen, I'm not sure, but then most of the albums, all that, it's all her own compositions.
So as you get into the studio, with, you said, Ralph working some of the music out, and I would think that most of this would have been worked out before you got to the studio, but what changed within the studio once the group got together to play the music? Did much change there, or much was added?
I would say we could add more layers, but we didn't want to add a lot of layers that couldn't be reproduced live, so we were pretty careful about that, I think. But it was just the care with which it was put together, and the arrangements and so on. I mean, we had been performing these songs before they were recorded, in most cases, quite a lot. I mean, when I think of the number of times we would have done Working Man and Old Man and,
right,
you know, I'm not, you know, all those songs, even before they were recorded, is amazing.
As far as equipment was concerned and sound people, was that much involved as far as going to a venue and playing?
Not a lot, because most of the venues that we went to, they would have their own equipment. But of course, you know, Ralph had to lug that piano everywhere. And then at times we had various drummers and people who had electric guitar, like, you know, Dave McIsaac played with us, Scott McMillan played with us. They would bring their amps and that sort of thing. And when we would go on tour, though, or go to a festival, that was provided for the most part.
Talking about Rita Person, in your words, you've known her a long time. How do you describe Rita McNeil?
Rita was, I think it's no surprise to anybody to say that she was a shy person. She was not an extrovert by nature, but extremely intelligent. And so she did not miss anything that was going on, and had to kind of push herself all the time to get out on that stage, because she wasn't loaded with self-confidence. We rallied around her as her friends and as her bandmates, and sort of almost had to get her on the stage at various periods of time. So that was something she had to deal with, the fact that she was not self-confident. But as the years went by and she saw how much people enjoyed, she was so determined to make people feel good and to make people, to entertain people, that she was just driven to do that. She's just a very good person in her heart and kind to a fault. I think it was to the point where, you know, there are people who probably could and did take advantage of her kindness at times. It was hard for her to say, no, that's not what I want to do. So she had to really trust the people that she worked with all the time to make sure that that wasn't happening.
She grows on you slowly the first time you meet. There's just so much beauty the heart can reveal, and you want to stay longer, and she's ever so pleased. You're one of the many who don't want to leave. So walk through her green fields, go down to the sea. The fortune in your eyes is more like a dream. She's called Nova Scotia, and she's so made you feel. You discovered a treasure no other has seen. It's hard to remember the places you've been, for once in her presence she's all that you see. And she cradles you softly like a warm gentle breeze, and wins your heart over with a feeling of ease. So walk through deep down inside her, some walk through her soul. And at night in her slumber, the wind softly calls and awakens her spirit that lives in us all. So walk through
Working Man. Talk about Working Man just for...
Well, the first time that I heard that, she did this thing, tapping it out to me, right? And I had to kind of learn to do some chords for it. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing, right? And it had come to her very, very quickly, having just paid a visit down to the Miners Museum and gone down underground with the miners. And it had really hit home with her. And she just went, I think, right home. And that song just poured out of her. So it was really wonderful to be in there, the ground floor. She never changed anything about the song from the very beginning. It's always been the same, and it's always been exactly what people want to hear. So it was pretty great. I can't tell you the hundreds of times I would have sung it with her. It's just unbelievable, because everybody, everywhere we went, people wanted it.
It's a working man on him, and I've been down underground, and I swear to God, if I ever see sun, or for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. At the age of 16 years, all before I
Max McDonald from the Cape Breton Summertime Review recalls helping Rita get one of her first big breaks, convincing promoter Brooks Diamond to add Rita to the Atlantic Folk Festival lineup.
I did bring Rita to his attention and just insisted he have her at the festival. I knew he didn't know her, but I knew that he would respond to essentially soul, you know, and that's the level I was approaching him on, that she was so important that he had to have her on his stage. And he had the posters done and everything. I said, it doesn't matter, Brooks. You have to have this person on your stage. That's just the way it is. So he trusted me enough that he did that.
Oh, it must be something while driving through when you suddenly see a piece of wood and you know that you drove every day to make a place for someone to stay. And it must be something to realize that somebody else now lives inside when you know you were the first to walk within. It must be something to rise at the dawn. You travel the road and you're they done to you, and the tools of your trade you hold in your hand. You had your life and you lived it well, and the mark of your craft can be found in the past dwellings that you made, and they hold up well and they stand up strong. And to think, of your life. Oh, it must be something to rise at the dawn. You travel the road and you're all alone. Oh, old man, what have they done to you? And the days of your youth were spent in the knowledge that you would forever and shaping the dwellings for others to use. Oh, they hold up well and they stand up strong. And to think, my God, you did it all with these tired old hands that are now holding on to what's left of your life. Oh, it must be something to rise at the dawn. You travel the road and you're all alone. Oh, old man, what have they done to you?
Allie Bennett.
For sure, I knew that she would garner a lot of attention because just that talent was there, like the voice, the songwriting ability. And I was quite confident, yes, that she would make it on the national level and even international level. And so it was just such a treat to be on the scene when all that happened, you know, between the years 1986 and 1987, and that's when things really got going for her. And just such a pleasure and an honor to be part of that at that time.
David and I collected old bottles, ladder back chairs and broken down rockers. When we first came together, we had such ideas, full of the future and full of good feelings. David
Let me ask you this, Allie. Of the folks that were involved at that time with Flying on Your Own and Rita's, I guess, ascension almost into stardom at that point, how many Cape Bretoners were involved in those projects and with her live show as well?
It's funny you mention that. I just, my old friend Ralph Dillon was on the scene for many years, and I just ran into Ralph yesterday, and haven't seen him in a long time. And so, yeah, he was very integral in the early part of the scene. And so leading up to, I think I left the band in 1990. I think Ralph was there another two or three years after that. But I think, you know, we were the two, I guess, main Cape Bretoners that were with her all those many years. Of course, in the early days, Rita had a band here. You know, Doug Johnson, right. Jerome O'Coin, Joella Folds, and so also besides myself, another Cape Bretoner that played with her for quite a while was Clarence DeVoe from Shetty Camp, a great guitar player. But a lot of the other musicians were Halifax based, and when I was with the band, the business part of the band was all based in Halifax, and Ralph and I, actually Ralph lived in Halifax himself at that time, but he's back in Sydney now. But in those days, Rita and I were the only two in Cape Breton.
Kyle McNeil from the Barry McNeils on what Rita McNeil meant to the group.
Our first real exposure to Rita McNeil would be 1986, Expo 86 in Vancouver. And, of course, that was Rita's breakthrough year. She played all summer, or I think pretty well part of that summer anyway. I know I can't remember exactly how many weeks. But when we were performing at the Folklife Pavilion there, Nova Scotia Day, we were part of that performance and got to play with Rita and meet her. But from there, we were very fortunate to be included in a lot of her TV specials, and she was always very generous. And, just offhand, I'm thinking maybe 5-6 specials we did with her and appeared on her weekly television show a couple of times, 2 or 3 times anyway. So, I mean, she was always willing to help out, and we toured with her once, did the Christmas show with her, and just learned a lot of big lessons from her on putting a show together, and just watching her, how she would perform from night to night and be consistent, and what she would talk to the audience about, and so many things. But she was always so willing to help out with not only us, but a lot of the local performers, especially Cape Breton performers.
Yeah, I remember those TV specials, the Cabot Trail shots and the Celtic Lodge and those. Mm-hmm. But the Christmas specials, too, were really interesting, too. But great exposure for the group when you think of national TV audience, right?
A lot of the, and big exposure performing on her, I think it was the first Christmas special she did. And that's another big reason that helped us out nationally on doing our Christmas tour, because that would be on TV year after year, and then it led to us recording our own Christmas special.
Rita McNeil was one of several Nova Scotian singers who brought the Cape Breton music scene to national and international prominence in the 1980s and 90s. She was the top-selling country artist in Canada in 1990 and 1991, outselling Garth Brooks.
I'm so afraid of losing you. I don't know how I'm holding you. I can't believe you love me. After all this time, for you're the kind you look up to. I know you say that of me too. And of all the loves I've walked with you, I'm glad I'm walking now. So I'll accept the rose tonight. Stop my heart from beating by the way you speak. And in this world where love grows cold and broken dreams are left a hole, I pray I may never know a day without.
The author of the autobiography of Rita McNeil, I'm Not What I Seem, Charlie Rhinedress, tells the story of where some of the money to finance Rita's album Flying on Your Own came from.
Brooks Diamond actually told me this story. He said there are a lot of untold heroes in stories, and this is one of them. Brooks went to see his hairdresser, and he was getting a haircut, and the man said to Brooks, so what are you working on? And Brooks told him, I've got this album with this wonderful woman named Rita McNeil. And anyway, so he was with his hairdresser, Joe Graves, and he said to Joe, you know, I'm working on this album. I need $30,000 to finish it. Now, Joe was familiar with Rita's music, was a bit of a fan, and he said, well, let me see what I can do, Brooks. And Brooks was like, well, how's he going to? He knew that he and Joe had commiserated about their financial troubles before, so he had no idea that Joe would, you know, actually come through. A couple days later, he gets a phone call. Joe had convinced his mother to mortgage her house to come up with the $30,000 to finish the album.
But it was her performance at Expo 86 in Vancouver and her fourth album, Flying on Your Own, released in 1986, proved to be the commercial breakthrough. It went double platinum in Canada, earning her a Juno Award for the most promising female vocalist.
You were never more stronger. You were never more alone. Once there was two, now there's just you. You're flying on your own. You were never more happy, girl. You were never oh so blue. Once heartaches begin, nobody wins. You're flying on your own. And when you know the wings you run can keep you in the sky, there isn't anyone. You were never more wise, girl. You were never more a fool. Once you break through, it's all up to you. You're flying on your own. You were never more together. You were never more apart. Once pieces of you were all that you knew, you're flying on your own. And when you know the wings you ride can keep. First.
Rita McNeil has released 25 albums, received 3 Juno Awards, 4 Canadian Country Music Association Awards, a Gemini Award, 11 East Coast Music Awards. She was inducted into the Canadian Country Music Hall of Fame and named to the Order of Nova Scotia and the Order of Canada. Rita passed away April 16, 2013, from complications of surgery. She will forever be in our hearts and minds. And her music, still sung, still being played, will be a part of our Cape Breton musical heritage.
I see the mountains, feel the soft air. I have reasons to behold all the wonders that never cease to be. You're as timeless as the water. You're as gentle as the fields. I caress you, oh, Cape Breton, in my dreams. And you never stopped the tears from falling as you watched the young ones go. You're as peaceful as a clear day. You're as rugged as the seas. I caress you, oh, Cape Breton, in my dreams. And home are you be, home are you be, banished thoughts of leaving, I see the blue lakes, feel the passion. I have reasons to believe. There are places that will bring you to your knees. I hear voices, they are calling. I have reasons. Children know wherever there is
been listening to Through the Years, a history of Cape Breton recordings, a Coast 89.7 original production. The Coast 89.7 would like to thank the Community Radio Fund of Canada for its financial support for this special project.